May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 204. Self-righteous souls on works rely, and boast their moral dignity. But if I lisp a song of praise, each note shall echo, grace, free grace. 204.
Our reading this evening is taken from the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. Book of the Revelation, the 21st chapter. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the city were garnished of all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord bless the reading of his word unto us and grant to us now a spirit of prayer. Almighty and holy Lord God of heaven and of earth, we bow again in thine unseen yet real presence. We come, Lord, to worship thee, to bring honour and glory to thy holy majesty. And as we've read, Lord, of that glorious, holy, new, heavenly Jerusalem, where around the throne of God in heaven, an innumerable company of men and women and children stand and worship, sinners saved by grace. Lord, as they worship in the full sight and full glory of Emmanuel, praising and blessing thee, happy in thy perfect love, worship without ceasing. Lord, we pray as thy glory fills them. So this evening, may thy glory fill this house. And may thy glory fill our hearts, though it will be in far lesser measure than that glorious company and joy. Yet, Lord, may many this evening get a sweet foretaste of heavenly joys to come. Help us, Lord, to worship thee, to praise, to honour, to love, to adore thy holy majesty, to glorify thy great and holy name, to crown thee Lord of all. And may our lives be lives of worship, showing by loving obedience who our Master is. We pray, Lord, for the pardon and for the forgiveness of every sin. For, Lord, we are great sinners. We are more unworthy this evening of thy blessing and of thy presence and of thy forgiveness than we've ever been before, and yet we've never needed mercy more than now. We pray this evening, Lord, that we may each prove mercy through blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. May we prove that there is power in that blood to cleanse from the worst, the vilest, the most pollutant of sins. May we this evening by faith behold the beauty and the glory of Emmanuel. May we hear thy voice. May we see thy face. May we follow thee in the way. We pray thy richest blessing upon this church and people. Again, we commend them to thee and ask thy blessing and richest favour upon them. Again, Lord, we would bear before thee those who mourn, who this week will stand around an open grave. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant help to thy servant who is to conduct the funerals here this week. And grant that on those occasions, Christ himself may draw near and bestow a blessing. But we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst comfort those who mourn. And then, Lord, again, we would bear before thee our friends, Sarah and Tim, in their loss of a child. We pray, Lord, that they may know this evening and in the days of this week and weeks to come much of thy comfort, much of thy presence, much of thy blessing. Lord, carry them through, and may they prove he never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. But Lord, draw near to them, and may they know thy comfort at this time. And any other here, Lord, who this evening are under a sense of a cloud, whether it be a cloud of trouble, a cloud of opposition, a cloud of discouragement, a cloud of illness, a cloud of unpardoned sin. Draw near, Lord, to those who worship this evening under a cloud. And some, Lord, may have long been under that cloud and perhaps feel that there is no hope of that cloud ever being lifted. But, Lord, do show them this evening that thou dost balance those clouds. And that those clouds are in thy hand. And, Lord, grant unto them that grace to abide under that cloud, whatever it might be, until it is thy sovereign will to move that cloud. And then, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst add unto this church those whom thou hast saved. Do constrain with thy mighty love, and do open tongues to come and to tell to the friends here of the precious Redeemer that they have found, and who has forever found them. May indeed redeeming love be their theme. May it be, Lord, in this year, a year of jubilee. A year of the ingathering of thy people into thy church. Then, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst gather into this congregation those whom thou hast a love for. Those whom thou hast divine mercy for, those whom it is thy will to be with thee in heaven at last. Lord, we pray, could it please thee to draw in even those who live a stone's cast from this chapel and yet never darken the doors. Cause them to have that need, and may that need compel them to come into thy house, and there may they find that need supplied. So, Lord, we ask that thou wouldst prosper this cause and bless the ministry of thy servants here week by week. And grant, Lord, that this may be a watered garden, field which the Lord God has blessed. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant thy blessing on those who gather here this evening from other causes of truth. And likewise, may those causes of truth be blessed and built up. And we pray for thy church as it meets this evening. Help thy servants to preach thy word, to lift high the cross of Christ and to lay low the sinner, to point to Christ and say, behold the way to God. May burdened souls lose their load this evening at Jesus' feet. And may dead souls be given that burden and that concern as to where they'll spend eternity. Do draw near, Lord, now as we turn to thy word of truth. Bless it unto us. Say unto our souls, thou art our salvation. And send none unmoved or untouched away. Seeing we ask these favours in the mighty name and the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 984. Hark, how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ, and free grace therein abounds, free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? 984.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I venture to ask your thoughts again to the word we considered this morning. Genesis chapter 4, the question you will find in the 9th verse. Genesis chapter 4, the question in verse 9, where is Abel, thy brother? Where is Abel, thy brother? This morning we considered the difference in the faith of Cain and the faith of Abel. And of how Abel's faith drove him to Christ. And how Cain's faith drove him away from Christ. And of how we should consider where our faith drives us to. Because, friends, your faith will either draw you to Christ or you'll seek for salvation and refuge anywhere but Christ. Examine your faith. May God examine it. Because, beloved friends, spiritually you and I are either Abel's brother or we are Cain's brother. We are either part of the family of God as Abel was, or the children of wrath with Cain. And sin still lies at Cain's door. Not all the fruits of the ground that he could bring could atone for one sin or move one sin from his door. But, beloved friends, Abel, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed all his sin. Where is Abel, thy brother? Now, the Lord God Almighty did not ask this question because he did not know the answer. He asked this question to confront Cain with his sin. In this evening hour, I want us to consider the blessed answer to this question. And those of you favoured with the same faith as Abel, those of you who have looked to the same Christ that Abel looked to by faith, those of you who have been brought, in the words of that hymn writer, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. For your encouragement this evening, I want us to look at this word. Where is Abel, thy brother? Those of you blessed with that same faith. Those of you who have been taught by the same God, those who, like Abel, you have that same father who fills a throne, that wise father, that holy father, that father who cannot make a mistake, who cannot be unkind, of whom, as we sang in that hymn this morning, has a sovereign right, undisputed right, to govern us. Those who, like Abel, have been washed in the same precious blood as Jesus Christ. Those who, like Abel, have found in Jesus Christ all your desire, all your hope for heaven. Those who, like Abel, are dressed in the righteousness of Christ, the obedience of Christ, which is the wedding garment that you will be privileged to wear. Abel wears it now in heaven, and one day you will too. But by faith, you're already wearing it. Those who, like Abel, have the same Holy Spirit who has taught you something of your sin and has taught you something of your Saviour, who has revealed to you that redeeming love of a redeeming God. That same Holy Spirit who wounded you and then healed you, who directed you to Sinai to convince you of your sin and convict you and bring you face to face with your sin. And then guided you to the feet of Jesus, guided you to the cross at Calvary, and gave you by faith a glimpse of the pierced hands and feet and side of Jesus. And you heard him say, "I suffered all for thee." Maybe not that exact phrase, but the equivalent of it. Those of you who are in the same narrow way to heaven, who have known the rebukes and the chastenings of the Lord, because as we are still sinners, friends, we all need them. And it is a loving God who will not allow one of his children to go wrong, and therefore there will be times when he will rebuke you. That same Holy Spirit who has taught you of the blessed and holy doctrines of real Christianity and has brought you to rest upon them and upon the faithfulness of your God. Those of you who by the precious blood of Jesus Christ have been brought to come in all your need to the same throne of grace as what Abel came to. And like Abel have received answers of peace, Abel's sacrifice, remember, was respected. That means God accepted it, probably by fire. But there was a visible sign which made the difference that God had accepted Abel's sacrifice and had rejected Cain's. The bloodless sacrifice. And you who by faith have come to that same mercy seat, in that same way by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Where is Abel, thy brother? He's where you will be one day, in God's good time, in heaven. We have here the first recorded death of history. And as we mentioned this morning, this wasn't what the devil promised Adam and Eve when he caused them to sin. This was a direct consequence of sin. But because you and I are sinners, we too will one day die. And perhaps, like Abel, that death will not be expected. The hymn writer says, death, awful sound, the fruit of sin and terror of the human race. Who except Jesus smiles within can look that monster in the face? But Abel could look that monster full in the face without flinching. And joy surrounded his death for him. Would it for you? If you this evening were called to pass the same way? Would it be the beginning of eternal joy for you or the end of all your joy? For Abel, although he had to pass a violent death, this for him was the best day of his life. It was the end. For him, of all pain. It was the end for him of all sorrow. It was the end for him of all his sins. It was for him the day when Satan and he would part company forever. Satan could destroy him literally, but he couldn't prevent Abel from entering into the joy of his Lord. And the devil can go so far with you, child of God. He may be permitted to kill your body. Literally, he will not be permitted to harm your soul. He cannot prevent you from entering into the joy of your Lord at the time that God has appointed. Therefore, take courage. He may cause you grief and pain and much suffering here, but they will have an end. You may be overcome often, but thou shalt overcome at the last. Where is Abel, thy brother? Abel had passed into glory. And this was also a significant moment in heaven. Here is the first sinner saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, safely welcomed home to heaven. And up until this point, the song of the redeemed had never been sung in heaven. The angels cannot sing that song. They cannot sing of redeeming love. They cannot sing of a Saviour. They cannot sing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They worship God as King, not as Saviour. But to Abel was given this privilege of beginning that song, which had not been sounded in heaven before, but which now, this very evening hour, still is going on. As joining Abel now is a company so vast, it exceeds the individual grains of sand on the seashore. But to Abel was given that privilege of beginning that song of the redeemed in heaven. Unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood be glory. What rejoicing there must have been. Where is Abel, thy brother? Abel heard the moment after death that welcome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And you, who are the spiritual brother of Abel this evening, one day you too will hear that welcome. As Jesus stood to welcome Abel home to glory, so he stands to welcome every believer home to glory and to present each one in person before the throne of his Father. I have no doubt whatsoever that the first sight a believer in heaven sees is his Saviour. The child of God, just as that day Abel, by grace alone, the free grace of God, the unmerited favour of God, the unmerited and undeserved mercy of God, as he entered into the joy of heaven, and as he was filled with the glory of Emmanuel, so one day you too will know that same joy. So too you will know that same sight. You've known what it is by faith here below to see Jesus. And it has been to you, has it not, a most precious sight? No sight on earth can compare with it, not even your closest and dearest ones that you love. But what joy will fill your soul when you see Jesus, not by faith, but with your natural eye in heaven's glory. This is what Abel has been enjoying since that moment when Cain slew him. And as his spiritual brother, you one day will join him there, and you will enjoy that same sight. We read it this evening, God himself shall be with them and be their God. That is the chief joy of heaven. It's to be with Jesus. Let's Rutherford says, I will not gaze on glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. O Christ, he is the fountain, that deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted more deep are drink above. There to an ocean's fullness, his mercy does expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Child of God, when you come face to face with your Redeemer in heaven, when you receive his welcome, when you see his smile for you, and when you hear, not by faith now, but with your natural ear, your Saviour's voice in words of amazing love and kindness and compassion, the joy that you will experience in that moment will far exceed even your best moments here on earth, when by faith you heard Christ speaking to you. Where is Abel, thy brother? Enjoying the uninterrupted communion of a triune God. Where is Abel, thy brother? Enjoying the true fellowship of the other redeemed souls and of the angels of God. That company is united in worship around the throne of God this evening. And all the conversation centers on Jesus Christ and what he has done. Where is Abel, thy brother? And then again, child of God, not just to see him, not just to hear him, not just to be near him, precious though that's going to be, but also you're going to be made like him. And that is another chief joy of heaven, to be made like your Saviour. Now, no longer will you have an old nature dragging you down. Now, no longer will you have that heart that divides and pulls you one way or the other. Now, no longer will there be two armies battling within, diametrically opposed to one another. In heaven, you will be favored believer. To have a nature that is as near to God as God permits it to be. There you will fully reflect the image of your Redeemer, of your Saviour, of your Jesus. And while here it is natural for us to sin, there it will be natural to you to be holy. And that, friends, is why perfect happiness is known alone in heaven. Because there's no sin. There can only be perfect happiness if every thought and deed and word is perfect. And in glory to come, child of God, here is your prospect. If you are favoured with the same faith as Abel had, you will know that full satisfaction of what you have so long desired. A nature completely holy, completely taken up with Jesus Christ. Every word you will speak will be completely holy. Every song that you will sing in heaven will be pure. Then, for the first time, you will know what it is to worship purely and holy. Here below, we cannot worship in a completely pure and holy way because we still have the nature of sin within. And that is why we cannot know perfect happiness here. But with that old nature gone, child of God, in the presence of your Redeemer and your Lord and Saviour, you will be favoured and blessed to an ever-ending eternity to have that holy nature. Where is Abel, thy brother? Enjoying complete rest. Complete peace. Complete happiness. Complete deliverance. There is no more storms. There is no more night and darkness and distress. There is no more sorrow or pain or suffering or tears. There is no more loneliness and grief. There is no more knowing God at a distance. Not the least pain has troubled Abel since he arrived in that heavenly city. Child of God, that same heaven is reserved for you also. And although here below you've had those scars which you bear, those sorrows, some of which you will carry for the rest of your life. And perhaps you do not understand just why the Lord saw fit that you should go through that path of deep affliction or deep sorrow or temptation, disappointment or pain. But we read this evening, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there are two or three interpretations of that. One is there will be no reason to cry in heaven. But another reason is that God will explain why it was necessary here below for you to shed those tears. And then you'll view some of your trials and tribulations in a different light to what you view them here. There you will acknowledge he was too wise to err and oh, too good to be unkind. Where is Abel, thy brother? Dwelling in the light of God. We read, did we not, they have no need of the sun or the moon. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ fills heaven with a glory that far surpasses the shining of the noonday sun in all its strength. a holy shining, a holy light, a holy glory. Child of God, one day you will dwell in that glory. And there'll be no more night, no more darkness to hide the face of Jesus from you. No more sea to divide you from your Jesus, or to cause a storm of distress. You will dwell in his near company forever. Without intermission. The sun will always shine here. You've known moments, haven't you, when the sun has shone in your soul. But you've also known those seasons of darkness when the clouds have hidden him from your view. But the sun's still up there shining above those clouds in the same brightness. God is still reigning. I read this week the remarks of a former Archbishop of Canterbury. In the early years of the last century, and he had had a bereavement, unexpected, and he made just one comment. God knows, and God reigns. Now, can you say that this evening? God knows your trial. God knows the heartbreak. God knows the pain. God has heard Satan harass you. But friends, God still reigns this evening. He reigns over your trouble. It's in his hand. And although you cannot see it this evening, he is going to bring a blessing out of it for you. So trust him. Even when you cannot see him, trust him in the dark. Do not listen to the devil. He's been a liar from the beginning. Take comfort in that fact. God knows. And not only does he know, God cares. And God still reigns this evening hour. One day it will be your privilege, believer, to see him reigning in heaven. Where is Abel, thy brother? He's gone home. And here, friends, is a difference between those who have living faith and those who don't. The moment of death, Abel and all his spiritual brethren, they go home. Be with Jesus. They go home and they leave behind forever Satan. No longer can he harass. They leave behind forever their troubles, their difficulties, their trials, their distresses, their pains and sufferings and weakness, and infirmities and sins and temptations. In the words of the hymn writer, which sum it up quite well, I can turn to it. Here is the joy of a believer at death. Death is no more a frightful foe, since I with Christ shall reign. With joy I leave this world below, for me to die is gain. To darkness, doubts, and fears adieu. Adieu, thou world so vain. Then shall I know no more of you, for me to die is gain. No more shall Satan tempt my soul. Corruption shall be slain, and tides of pleasure over me roll, for me to die is gain. Nor shall I know a father's frown, but ever with him reign, and wear an everlasting crown, for me to die is gain. Sorrow for joy I shall exchange, forever freed from pain, and all the pains of Canaan range, for me to die is gain. Fain would my heart-raptured soul depart, no longer here remain, but dwell, dear Jesus, where thou art, for me to die is gain. For a believer, saved by grace, redeemed by precious blood, taught to know, to trust, to follow, to love Jesus Christ, to die is everlasting gain. It's to go home to eternal rest and peace and comfort. To go home to that eternal joy of eternal worship. That eternal joy of no longer battling with Satan and the world, and the temptations of the world, and the devil, and the sins that you have so often plagued with. But to dwell in that holy, happy place where there is no more sin, where Satan cannot reach you, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Resting in the arms of Jesus and his faithful love. Proving that he was and is and will ever remain faithful who has promised to save you and to bring you safely to heaven. Gone home. Believer, look up. The prospect is a good one. The best is yet to come. And the best will never end when Jesus calls you home. Shut in forever with your Jesus like Abel. Satan shut out. Filled with indescribable joy, indescribable peace, and with the glory of Emmanuel. Then to prove God with us in sacred ties, in the most blessed and precious way that you can. There to share in the victory of Emmanuel, who triumphed over sin and death and hell for you. There to see the wounds of Jesus that he suffered for you and read your pardon there. There to know the triumphant love of your almighty God and friend. There to reign with your Jesus. And that forever. Child of God, you've no need to fear death. Resting in Jesus, that Jesus you've known, that Jesus you've proved. He who has led you all these years and made known to you his love, and who has chastened you often in love too, but who never turned its back on you, who brought you back in when you forsook his ways. Do you think he's going to forsake you now? It cannot be. His honour and his name is at stake to bring you safe home to heaven. And to heaven you will go, rejoicing in your Jesus. As someone once said in one of our Bethesda homes, when I get to heaven, it won't be the first time I've seen Jesus. Some of you can say the same, can you not? For you, then, death will indeed be gain. But remember, friends, if death for you is to be gain, in this life first, Christ must be your life. If you are to get to the same heaven and join in the same anthem of the redeemed that Abel began all those centuries ago, if you are to enjoy the same glory and the same happiness, you must go the same way. You must travel that same road to heaven by faith, resting and trusting all your hope alone on the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so as I close this evening, I want to end where I began this morning. Examine your faith. Examine your hope. Because you're either Abel's brother or you're Cain's brother. If your faith, like Cain, is not resting on the blood of Jesus Christ, but on what you brought, the fruits of your ground. Yes, sincere though you might be, and yes, you might be very diligent to only bring your best obedience. Friend, Cain is your brother, and sin still lies at your door. And if you remain in that family at death, get death will not be for you gain, it will be loss. You will not go home, you will leave home. And that eternally. You'll leave all your sinful pleasures. You'll leave all your peace and your comfort behind. You'll leave this world which is your home and which you're happiest in. And which you would rather have stayed here, but you can't stay here forever. you'll leave home. And instead of knowing the glory of heaven, you'll join in the judgment of Cain. Instead of being in the immediate presence of Jesus, you'll be in the immediate presence of Satan. Instead of that eternal happiness that we've been speaking of this evening so poorly, instead, you will know that place where there is no comfort, where there is no peace, where there is no joy, where there is no light, where there is no gospel to be preached, where no Saviour will ever come, where no prayer for mercy will ever be heard. That is the eternity at stake for you and for me. That's what we are facing. Either the joy of heaven or the pain of hell. So, beloved friends, I end where I started this morning. Where is your hope? What's it based on? And if this evening hour you were called to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as you will be one day, you can't avoid it. Will you go home? Or will you leave home? Will you go home with Abel? Or will you leave home with Cain?
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £805, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. The collections next Lord's Day will be for the Christian Institute. Let us close with hymn 596. God is a spirit, just and wise. His footsteps who can trace? His love, more ancient than the skies, breaks forth in boundless grace. 596.
O Lord, Almighty God, in thy sovereign mercy, do bless us each with the faith of Abel. And then, Lord, haste that day when our faith shall be sight, and we worship in the beauty of holiness around that throne of God in heaven, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Grant, Lord, that none of us may be left out of that great company. We pray now that thou wouldst pardon and forgive all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name today. Bless thy word unto us. Dismiss us with thy blessing and take us under thy safe care and keeping. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us each now and forever. Amen.